Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So looking forward, I just love this series, because I can just see, I mean, we can just see how God is stacking things to take us, really, what he loves to do, from glory to glory. That's what he wants our life to be, our experience with him. And it's not that life doesn't have challenges, but it prepares us to lead us so that even as challenges come, we know that he's at work and that he will make a way. And so I'm loving our series this morning, and I just, in fact, it's like, honestly, you couldn't script things better in the way that God has orchestrated just even events on the church calendar. Because tonight, normally, our worship and praise night, the prayer and praise night would have been New Year's Eve. That was the last, because we do it on fifth Sunday nights. And just didn't feel like that was going to be the right way to do it this year on New Year's Eve. It's a family night, and we just went, yeah, we'll see how God would lead into this new year. And leading it tonight, I feel like there's no better way, especially after this message this morning, than to roll into what God will do tonight. And I just encourage you, if you can all make it, come out tonight. Make it a family night here in God's house. Who cares if the San Francisco 49ers or the Detroit Lions win, all right? The Packers aren't in it. Next year, no, I'm just teasing for all the Detroit Lion fans. Be blessed. Yep. And Sue's going, yes, Lord. But honestly, there's just one of these moments that I just feel like God, something significant's going to happen tonight, and you don't want to miss it. And I pray that we would roll into church with that expectancy. You never know what God's going to do on a given Sunday. What's God going to do today? How is God going to surprise us today? And I believe that that's part, as we're rolling through this series, as we continue in on this wonderful prayer that Jesus taught his disciples on how to pray. And it wasn't so that it was something that they would go back and recite, but it was often more to teach them a pattern of prayer, the heartbeat of a prayer. And if we're going to walk into the new season that God has for Calvary Church, that God has for you, God has a new season for you. Are you tired of the season that you're in, or you just, I hope you have, in a good way, do you just have a positive discontentment even? That maybe there is more that God wants to do in your life than you've experienced before. So to walk through and to receive that, really apart from prayer, there is no other way. Everything else becomes show. When we become people of prayer, and we allow God's power and presence to radiate in our lives from a very private moments, when we get together corporately, it's amazing what God will do. So that's why I feel like rolling into this year, this series is so pivotal. And last week was really part one, because we're going to continue on in this portion of the Lord's Prayer. But even before we get into it, I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon, what he said about prayer. He says, "The condition of the church may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meetings. So is the prayer meeting a grace-o-meter? And from it, we may judge the amount of divine working among a people. If God be near his church, near a church, it must pray. And if he is not there, one of the first tokens of his absence will be a slothfulness in prayer." See, if God is not near to us, guess what? We won't pray much. I don't want to be a part of a church like that. I don't want to be a part of a church that just goes through motions. We're entering into a season, I really believe, if we want to see a great awakening, then a lot of our schedules, a lot of our desires are going to have to go of just, God, lead us into a new way of living. a new way of living that's just dedicated to you. And it's why I really believe that this series is really important, because as we begin to drill in and allow God to teach us all anew, Lord, teach me how to pray. Help me to pray better than I ever have before. The Lord's Prayer teaches us just that in so many ways. It'll help us to grow individually, but also the importance of not only of how we pray individually, but how we pray individually will affect us corporately. Because here's the amazing part. We will, as we pray effectively, it just not only will change us, it'll change those around us. It'll change the condition of our church just in the same way. The better we become, the stronger we become praying corporately, it will spark and influence our private life as well. And so we pray that God will spur all of us on to a greater degree in prayer. One of the parts that Pastor Stacy and I prayed about when God was leading us to a community was that God would lead us to a place, that he would lead us to a community where we would see God just do amazing works. We want to see God flex signs and wonders, flex his presence in great degrees. We didn't want to take a church just to coast to retirement. We're not looking to coast into retirement. That's not how we roll. We want to chase in this next season all that God has, not only for you, but selfishly for us too. We want all that God, we want to be able to, when the retirement day comes, Stace goes, yeah. When that retirement day comes, it's like, here's where we want to be able to do is look back with absolutely no regrets. We want to be able to look back with just a gratitude of what God has done and be able to tell stories of his miraculous provision. Watch God write his stories of grace. God wants to do that in you too. That's why I believe God has brought us together. We needed you. And so as we go into our series this morning and we jump back in, so look at it, Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's where we left off last week, and we began to talk about how when it comes to God's kingdom, we literally want God's authority to come down, to settle his reign, his authority to come down on everything. In fact, here is a definition of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, as you'd see it in different parts when Jesus would talk about throughout the New Testament. We see the Greek word is basileia, which simply means the reign of the king. God's authority, his sovereignty, his saving, royal, all-encompassing rule. It's him ruling all people, all places, everything. And as Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, his first thought, see, here's the amazing part. That first generation listeners to Jesus, when Jesus started talking about kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, in their mind, they immediately started thinking of a physical kingdom. They would think of a physical nation. So Jesus is going to come. He's going to be our next supreme leader. And they're thinking physical. And Jesus was saying something much bigger. He goes, no. We're talking something supernatural that transcends this earth. We're talking a reign that is in the heavens that transcends the universe, every planet, every galaxy, every part of creation. And it's knowing that God who created it all. So last week we learned a great place to start, that God's kingdom would come down and reign would be on everything. And that includes some of the biggest influencers of our life. In fact, we shared seven. So if you go there, here's seven influences that influence our culture and our nation. And we need to be praying for all these, that God's kingdom, his reign would come over families and marriages. You don't have to watch the evening news not to see why the deterioration of the family and the marriages and the repercussions, because that's what plays out on the headlines every single night. Religion and faith, we need a revival. We need a revival in God's church. And when the church is revived, guess what? That begins to spill out, and we will begin to see markings of a new awakening. We need to be praying on the economy. The economy can do so much. We need to be praying for all of our employers in this area that God would continue to bless them so that his work can go on, so that we could do more ways of blessing people, that the businesses could bless families, that it can build marriages, that it can build healthy communities. We need to pray for the education for our schools. Can't tell you how many teachers, workers, coming out of COVID are ready to quit. Just because of the stress, the new environments that are there, we need to support them. But we also need to pray, may God's truth be transmitted in our schools. And may these educators have strength, administrators have wisdom on how to lead and guide. We need to pray for our governmental leaders. Government is here to serve the people, not the people to be served. Does that make sense? They're here to serve the people. We're not here to be slaves. And we need to pray for our governmental leaders that as they serve us, that they do so with godly wisdom and counsel. Arts and media, some of the greatest ideas should be coming from God's people. I mean, why not some of the next great singers be out of the church? Let God create a culture that people can see and connect with music and connect with arts and all of that, media. In fact, why not some of the next, even going into science and technology, why not some of the greatest science discoveries come from a Holy Spirit-empowered person who just dreams and lets God be at work in their life through their intellect, through all their creativity is, that it is reflected in science and technology. We need to be praying that God will help us as a church to influence these parts of culture. And each one of us has that ability here, even here in Marinette and Menominee in this area. Why not let our businesses be so creative that what we do, even to a parts, tool and die companies, God could create an idea for a new part and they develop it in a shop, and guess what? It goes across the country. Hey, they found this fix for this problem. Why not? But it all starts if we will begin to pray for these areas, but then also to pray God would influence it. So as we begin to pray for those things, we're praying for all these things to be shaken. And shaken in a positive way, because it's God's presence. Because we realize the tense, the tone of that Greek word basileia, when we're praying, God, your kingdom come, the tone of it is like setting your foot down. Lord, may your presence be set down in our midst. And so this morning, as we go back, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying that for our nation. But you know what? When we're talking this to this point, it kind of feels like conversations that you have yourself when you have a huge snow drift in your driveway. Your snowblower's not working. Your plow's not working. You ever had moments like that? And the drift seems like it's a mile long. The driveway, you were swearing a couple weeks ago, man, I don't have that long of a driveway. And now you feel like you have the longest driveway on the planet, right? So we ever have moments where we just have those. In some points, we could look at those seven influences. We could think of just the influences in our life that we're praying God to help. Let your kingdom, let your power, your authority come out in my life. They seem so big. How do we get to that? That we could see those influences shaken, that we could see God's power and his presence such a radical at will. Well, that's where I want us to go is today, is it all starts from the inside of us. When we're letting his power, his reign, when we're praying, God, let your kingdom come in me. God, let your will be done in me. Let it be done in the same degree that is in heaven. Let it be done in my life, every part of it. God, heal me today. Because guess what? In heaven, there's no sickness. Let's believe, God, may your heaven come on earth. God, in whatever your need may be, that's why the word today is so fitting for this message that we heard through the Spirit. Come to the Lord. Draw near to him. And as we go into it, how do we begin to see this happen? One of the neat parts is, and it's why Pastor Stacy and I love expository preaching, which is verse-by-verse preaching. We love getting into a book of a Bible. That's why we love getting through. We did it with the blessing before the holidays. We also are doing it with this prayer. It's just going through it verse by verse. But when you read Scripture, it's always helpful to get the context of the passage that you're reading. So maybe you're reading a chapter, like we're going through this prayer. It really helps you when you start to see the context of where this is sitting. Because some points we could be going, yeah, I would love to see things shaken like that. I mean, that's great. Let's see an awakening. But man, I'm just trying to get through Monday. I'm trying to get through some of the stubborn things in my own life. I'm trying to get things happening in our marriage. I'm trying to get things, all the different parts, stresses that you might be facing. How do I see God's kingdom come in my own life? Well, here's the great part. This prayer, when Jesus is teaching the disciples to prayer, is actually coming through the middle part of a bigger teaching. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, and you could read fully the whole Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. That's three chapters there, 5, 6, and 7, of Jesus doing one extended teaching. And so when he began to teach him about prayer, this was only after he walked them through some other parts of what it is to let God's kingdom come out in their life inside of them. So as he began to do a teaching, saying, this is what a kingdom of God person looks like. Someone who trusts God and is letting God's kingdom come in their life, letting his will be done in their life, to get a tangible picture. And maybe you're like me. Some points it really helps to have some idea, just not theory. What does this look like in a person? And Jesus did that on the front end before he even taught him about the prayer. And we see it in chapter 5. So look there, Matthew chapter 5, and we pick up on it in verses 1 through 2, starting off. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down, his disciples, and they gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Then Jesus shares what is commonly called the Beatitudes. The word beatitude means blessedness, by the way, which gives us a picture of God's kingdom on earth and how it's lived out. As we briefly look at them, look at these Beatitudes, I want to encourage you to, as we look at them, let it serve as a prayer for his will to be done in your life. So when you begin to look at it, in the next several verses, I want you to say, God, let your kingdom come in my life as Jesus begins to teach. So let's look at what those Beatitudes, living a blessed life, a kingdom-controlled life, looks like. Verse 3, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. First off, the first several verses all start off with God blesses. He's speaking to ones who know they don't have it all together. So his audience is people that don't have it all figured out, but they keep coming back to God. But they're humble. They're ones that are wanting more. I hope that's you. We don't have it all figured out, but we want to keep coming back because we know we have a God that'll keep revealing if we keep coming back. He'll guide. He'll direct us. And that's the audience that Jesus begins to talk, and he begins to give them a deeper look. So let's reread verse 3 as he gives the first picture of a kingdom-controlled life. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for God, for theirs is the kingdom, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. See, some translations don't leave it with just poor. They say poor in spirit, essentially to say we're not arrogant. We're not spiritually self-sufficient. We're saying we're humbling ourselves to realize we can't earn our place in God's kingdom. Are you poor this morning? That it's like, God, I can't buy my way out of this. I trust you. God, I know that there isn't anything I can do to fix my condition other than what you've already provided for me. So let your kingdom come in my life. See, when we begin to empty ourselves of what we think we can do and just allow God to do what he wants to do in and through our life and trust him, it's amazing what he will do. Look at verse 4. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus unpacks that we have a genuine brokenness, that we begin to feel a sorrow for our own weakness and failings in comparison to God's standards. It also captures a grieving over the things that grieve God, to mourn over sin, its effects on people's lives. And so there's a heartbeat that we get that when we begin to realize just how holy our God is, when we begin to get a picture of just how dark at some points our thoughts, our desires can drag us, sometimes just wanderings, and yet God blesses those who mourn over that because they realize, God, outside of you, I'm helpless here. I'm stuck. See, when we are having that position, you'll be comforted. God will come by and he'll comfort you, he'll uplift you. And here's the part that I want to make sure that you capture, because it's so easy. This could be preached with such an edge that it diminishes you as a person. It could be preached that unless you were, that there's so much wrong with you that you're just an evil person. You could walk away feeling like and sometimes we're our own, our own worst convictor on that. Because we can sit there and look at our weaknesses and our failings and our brokenness, and there's parts where we can diminish our value. And here's the amazing part. God will convict us of our sin, but he never diminishes the value of who you are. And I please capture that. Hear this. It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less is what this is all about. Don't beat yourself up, but do realize there is just nothing I can do. When we start to capture the state of what this is, that God will never strip our dignity when he confronts us about sin, but he also doesn't live, he doesn't let sin go unchecked. So as more as we just go, God, just keep revealing when I blow it. See, it's one of those parts in marriages that we do it too. Or maybe Pastor Stacy and I are the only ones in the room. But you know when you mess up, there's just parts you have disagreements, and you just kind of, like one of you may realize you've let the other one down. And it's sometimes it's the hardest then is you realize it, so you're in that funky oddness, right? So one of, you know, whoever's been the offender, somebody has to break the ice, and it's, hey, I kind of blew that. Sorry. Sometimes, and honestly, I'm preaching more towards me, so just so you know. There's parts, Stacy goes, finally, that's what I've been waiting to hear. And there's just parts that it's, some parts we can just hold on. And here's the great part is the security to know that our God convicts. And all we have to do is, God, I know I've blown it. And when we admit it, heartfelt, here's the amazing part. He comes in and he comforts. The very thing that at some points we think would actually pull us away is the very thing he starts to draw us with. That's the amazing part of our God. And see, this is kingdom people living. That if we want to take new territories, we want to see a great awakening occur, God, help us to see our failings to the point that we know it's not dependent on anything other than you and your work in our life. Look at the next picture, verse 5. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Some translations uses the word meek, and I can remember, I kind of laughed at it just because it was, well, it was just because they were a bad basketball team. But at North Central, we played a certain other Bible college. I won't tell you which one it is, but it's in North Dakota. And the basketball team was not very good. Our team was really good. But they did this chant before the basketball game, and it was, meek don't mean weak. You know, and they're trying to, but they were so bad. It just kind of, that's where it's sad. I mean, I like the saying. Yeah, meek does not mean weak. But then you got to back up the game. Here's the great part. For those who are humble, that if we will surrender ourselves, to it. Oh, sorry, John. I just realized I just totally butchered your alma mater, John Rakowski. Sorry. It's Trinity Bible College, by the way. I just realized, totally dug him in the grave there. But here, there's parts where when we humble ourselves, and we're meek, but meek doesn't mean weak. Some of the greatest courage is the ability to humble yourself. You want to be a real man, men, then humble yourself. Ladies, you want to show distinguished character? Humble yourself. Meek does not mean weak, absolutely. But when we humble ourselves, here's the amazing part. Humbleness is incredibly attractive. We want to change a culture to influence the 7 influences of our culture today. Humility will win the day every single day. Every day. I don't want to go into the political crowd, but I will do it for a moment. Because I can see it on both sides. The lack of humility is what will drive people nuts. And if we want to change a culture, then for us, for those who are thinking kingdom, who are thinking bigger kingdoms than a political one, then it all starts with God, humble us. God, do that work in us. Look at verse 6. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Without an intense desire for righteousness, no one will pursue a deeper walk with Christ. If you're not passionate on this, you will not have a super strong relationship. Are you hungering today? Are you thirsting for justice, for God's justice to be done? Because here's the amazing part. When we get an intense desire for righteousness, for God just to clean us, for God to strengthen us, we'll be satisfied. We'll be satisfied with our life. He's going to give us a peace that will defy understanding. I encourage you today to draw in. Here's yet another picture, verse 7. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Merciful means full of sympathy, compassion towards those who are suffering from sin or sorrow. For some, God gives another gifting of the Holy Spirit. We saw 2 in operation this morning, but seeing the gift of mercy at operation. Saying that takes me back to the most visible demonstration I've personally ever seen. I was interning at my home church in Western Nebraska, and I was out on a visitation call with one of our board members, an incredible guy, Gary Steinbrecher. Now, to give you a kind of a background of my home church in Nebraska, literally, I would say my home church in Nebraska, you could watch the Jesus Revolution, that element of the 70s, the Jesus people, that was my home church. Just a little older, because it was in the 80s. So it was the Jesus people in the 80s, Gary's one of them. God radically saved his life, and we're out on a visitation call. So we're visiting people that actually hadn't visited the church. We got leads. This is something that we were doing at the time. People that had been witnessing to people, family members, and they had talked, would you be open to somebody from our church visiting you? And so we would do these cold call visits, just saying, hey, so-and-so, thought you might be interested on maybe some spiritual things. We're here today just visiting. And I remember so it's an awkward start to the conversation. Like some of you are looking at me going, ooh, I don't know if I like that. And so you'd always have these incredibly awkward conversations starting off. And I can just remember immediately the person was kind of like, yeah, no, I'm glad they told you. Yeah, but no, I'm not that interested. And it was in a moment, all of a sudden I look over at Gary, because I was figuring, okay, I guess it's our time to check out. Good to see you. And so I'm ready to leave. All of a sudden, I just see Gary, tears streaming down his face. And he's just starting to weep. And so you want to talk about awkward, because it's like, how do you have a conversation now? You got one young adult that's ready to go to the car. The other person ready to go in the house. And then you got the other person bawling like a baby. And so you're just kind of like, okay, where's this going to go? And I just remember Gary going, it's hard for me to take another step. He goes, I feel like God's just revealed how separated you are from God. And he could hardly utter a word. He goes, I just feel like God wants you to know how much he wants to have a relationship with you. It was one of the most incredible displays of mercy. Because literally, Gary goes, I'm sorry, I can't stop but crying. He goes, I just feel like God is just keeps revealing the separation that you have between him and you. And he just wants you to know how much he loves you. And he just began to break over this person's sin that he didn't even know. It's always been one of those moments, and I've had pockets here and there where I've felt like God's given me that, but I've like never to the degree like a Gary Steinbrecher. Lord, mercy. See, people that will possess a kingdom, God, help us to be merciful. Because here's the amazing part. When you show mercy, mercy will then be shown to you. It's a reciprocal aspect to it. And by showing mercy to others, we'll obtain mercy. See, it's one of those parts when you start having the mercy of God, you start to be reminded just the depths, even in your own life, where you stand, you're cautious not to misstep. Cautious, not like you're walking on thin ice, but just cautious that you're trying to revere his name. It's like what we talked about several weeks ago about keeping his name holy. You just want to be protected and that you just want to keep honoring the Lord. Here's another picture. Look at verse 8. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Those with a pure heart, those who have been freed from sin's power, experience God's undeserved favor, love, his help, his empowerment. See, God blesses those who allow him to flood and clean your heart and your habits, your thoughts, your will, your emotions. Why? Because we just desire to be holy as he is. See, the more we desire to trust in, the more God will want to restore, the more we allow God on this to give us pure hearts, give us pure motives, to give us clear lives. Here's the amazing part. We're going to start to see God do more things in our life. All of a sudden, we're going to start seeing God do some signs and wonders through our life that we had never experienced before. As you're praying, all of a sudden, God's answering those prayers. You want to see God begin to be even more interactive, interwoven, to see the inner workings. It's not that he's not already. Some points, it's a sensitivity. This opens us up, kind of taking the glasses off, some of the shades, to really see some of the deeper insides of God's working in your life. It'll come as we pursue holiness and purity in him. Finally, look at verse 10. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. This is one that we will not hardly ever talk about, because who wants to talk about being persecuted? Ever remember going to school and being the punchline for everybody's jokes? Nobody? Okay, well, trust me, that was me. You could put Holbert on a kick the can. That was me, punchline, let's make fun of him. And some of it was just our culture, especially junior high, middle school, fun years. Nobody wants to be persecuted for doing right. But here's the amazing part. When we live honorable lives, we're going to have persecution come our way. And you just need to be prepared for it. So if we're looking for God, for his kingdom to come, and we're praying, God, begin to do signs and wonders, people will start to question. Like some parts, here's where people might even start to question just the fact you come more consistently on a Sunday morning. Why would you do that? Why would you go consistently more to church on a Sunday morning? It's not just the coffee. It's not the donuts if you get here early enough. The chuckles are those who get here early enough. And what's amazing is when we allow God's work, people will see something different. And at some point, sometimes that'll convict people. Sometimes it's having conversations when you're just explaining it and they're like, boy, I don't get that. I don't understand that. But the more we allow God to just lead our life, you know what? Persecution's going to happen, and it just will. People won't, family members won't quite know what to make of it. But when we live honorably, open lives, open to be able to give an answer when they give us an opportunity to talk about it, one of the fun, amazing parts is God will be at work to convict. See, this is the good part. When persecution happens, people are being convicted. That's part of God letting his kingdom come. But we need to do it with grace. We're not sitting there sticking things in people's faces. We're speaking to them love and grace and demonstrating it. Look at verse 11 and 12. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you, against you, because you're my followers. Here's where Jesus goes on. Verse 12. Be happy about it. Be very glad. Doesn't that just kind of sound even as you read it? Be happy. People are saying things about you. They're lying about you. Be happy. Yeah. Be very glad. Because here's what Jesus knows. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. And think about that. Jesus was persecuted. The greatest example. He was crucified. The amazing parts is when we begin to drill into what a kingdom life really looks like, just know there's going to be moments we're going to live for Jesus in a real effectual way that we'll get persecuted for it. And I'll live up for that every day. I'm willing to be misunderstood, not because I didn't try to communicate clear, but because I would rather live to please God and to live a holy life, a pure life, where my motives are pure, and you could begin to share that with people. People get it. And that's where we pray for Calvary Church as we enter this next season. May we be people who mourn over their sin, who allow the Spirit to break them and not afraid, to let the Holy Spirit convict, to let the Holy Spirit guide, let the Holy Spirit empower. Because here's the amazing part. God's going to send you out. He's going to send you out into the workplace. He's going to send you out to your family. And you're going to be an example of his kingdom at work. I want you to think back to the verses that we looked through this morning. Examine all the results of having a kingdom-centered life. Receiving the kingdom meant being comforted. It meant receiving mercy. It meant seeing God. Why is that so important to note? Because too many people approach Jesus as just another religion. They approach him just like another law, religious law. To most, he's just a bunch of rules. So how do we cut through that? It's simply this, as we live honorably to him. God's grace is different than religion in that the favor comes before the obedience. And I hope you capture that thought. Under the commandments of the Lord that he's given us, and we come fully equipped with the ability to perform them even before we step into it. So like to be the amazing part when we look back at some of these, to be merciful, to be shown mercy, he's already provided that by what he did on the cross for us. He's already provided the ability that when we our hearts are pure, that we'll have the ability to see God and to see him at work. Even before we step into obedience, the provision's already been done. So are you looking today for God to be at work in your life? Are you willing to say, God, let me be pure before you. God, let me see mercy, your mercy be shown on my life. Let your peace be at reign. Lord, help me to be comforted. Lord, let your kingdom of heaven come near. So that leads us to our prayer this morning. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. When we begin to make this our prayer, it's amazing what we will see, what God will do in and through us as a church. If I could have the worship team come, I just encourage you to let this be your prayer today, that as you begin to look and examine your life, and that's why, again, I feel like it's just not coincidence that tonight we'll have a prayer and praise time. And I'm just telling you, it's going to be an extension of what we walked through this morning, of in a greater way, where we're just before God, worshiping Him and allowing Him to show us, to guide us, to lead us into being greater men and women of God that He wants us to be. But as we pray this prayer this morning, I just encourage you, if you're here today, maybe you're watching online, and you want to have that relationship with God and know that everything is right. You want to live a pure life. You want to do the right things. But it'll only happen if you have that relationship with Christ. It just is. It starts with that relationship where Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. There's no shortcutting it. And in this prayer today, we're talking about, God, your kingdom come. His will be done in your life. There's no other way than having a relationship with Him. And so if you would stand with me this morning, everyone stand. I just want to invite you in this moment that if you're here today and maybe it's the first time that you would be making this type of decision, maybe you've known Jesus for a long time, but you just know He's not the number one thing in your life. He wants you to know this morning that He wants to do an incredible work in through your life to make your life pure, to make it new. He wants to reveal the inner workings that He's already been doing in your life so that you can see the details, that He is at work, His hand is on your life. So if you're here today and maybe for the first time, or you need to rededicate yourself to say, God, help me to see that. Your good work that you want to do in and through my life, I know I need to make you my Lord and my Savior. And if that's you today, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Just note it in a way that I want to pray with you. Thank you. Is there others? And if you're online, pray this prayer along with all of us, if you'd pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for not giving up on me. Show me your work in my life. Forgive me of my sin, doing life my own way. Be my leader and Savior. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You made one of the most amazing statements and prayers if you prayed that today. And if I could have our anointers, our prayer team come, we're going to go into a time of worship. And again, I feel like the best response on a message like this, that when we're really talking about seeking God, when we're really talking about the ability to mourn over the sin and the aspects of our life, it takes a moment of that we're just closed in, saying, God, reveal that spiritually to me this morning. And so what's amazing is you can come to one of our prayer team members, or I encourage you, maybe it's taking a step and going to one of the walls if you want to pray just personally, just saying, God, I just want to get alone with you. But here's the great part. We have a team of people that are wanting to pray with you for victory that we talked about even early in the service. God has a victory that He wants to bring to your life. And some points, you could be anointed with oil. If you're here today and you need healing, we want to pray with you and believe God for your healing. That as we pray, guess what? It's just not some oil anointed to your forehead, but it's the Holy Spirit that'll come on and let the Holy Spirit do a healing work in your body. We're believing for that this morning. Maybe there's other areas you just want some people to pray and agree, then come. But if we can, without a formal benediction, take a few moments. Say, God, look at my life, where I stand before you. And in our time of worship, just, Lord, let Him reveal and make that time of commitment to just say, God, I'm in, I'm on. Let your kingdom come in every aspect of my life. God, let your will be done in my life, not my will. I want to chase after what you have for my life. And let it be flowing through my marriage, through my family, through my business, every part of my life. Show yourself, God, in my life. That's an amazing part. So as we go into a time of worship, again, Pastor Stacy and I love you. And we're just believing God's going to give a blessing on your life, that as we continue to step in to let his kingdom come on our life, his will be done, just as it is in heaven, let it be done here. When we see that, God's blessing is going to be powerful on your life, and it already is. May God bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. To the praise of your glory, God, to the building of your church, to the building of our lives, we give our lives, we give ourselves unto you. God, seek us. God, look through us. Examine our life and show us where we stand, every side, and we humbly come to you. As we do, we know you will bless and you'll restore. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.